Forager Health Podcast, clearing the path to true vitality. I invite you to rise with us. Let us sow the seeds of compassion in our relationships, with ourselves, with each other, and with the land. Let us take our creation, our lived experience, beyond where it's been before. Let us ask ourselves what would happen if we were to open our hearts even more. And may we be guided toward our overall highest outcomes by joining together on this day. Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to, for the first time in a long time, a brand new episode of Forager Health Podcast. This is, more so than an intro, a preliminary notice, if you will, that this episode is at times beautiful and enlightening and thought-provoking and invigorating, and at other times rather jarring and vulgar and controversial. It is just as much a, for lack of better terms, ranting transmission from whatever you want to say, my guides, my highest self, maybe something that was recently exhumed from the seat of my soul where big metaphysical concepts and metaphors are thrown around quite a bit, as it is at other times a practical and logical overview of how to overcome and move on from periods in our lives where we feel stuck or where we find ourselves in a state of frustration or where we find ourselves in situations that feel and look very different than where we intended to be at the time of our arrival of awareness of what is going on in our lives. So the messages here at times are really so strong that I caught myself more than once, and you might be able to notice it too, backpedaling on the narrative as it plays out, and spending more time on certain concepts and elaborating further than I had planned for before moving on, ultimately sticking with my intention for what I meant to say, but really like questioning as I went and recorded, like, should I really be saying this? Like, is it really right to be sharing this in this way so strongly? And ultimately, I went through with it. But, you know, I really did try to make clearer some of the bombshells I was originally just going to leave up to a wider degree of mythopoetic interpretation, so to say, for better or worse. And I still don't know how it will be taken, but you know, it might be one of the most abrasive pieces of material that I've ever published. I'm saying this, this is just my thoughts on it now, about a week or two after originally recording and not having gone back and listened and edited yet. I considered not publishing it. I really did. I went back and forth. I considered re-recording, but decided against both of those options for a couple simple reasons. One is I can't do it more authentically than being intuitively led through a narrative that ended up being created as it was. So a redo would be sort of fake, and that's kind of against my ethos, as past listeners of the show will obviously know. And then not publishing at all and recording something else entirely for my first episode back would mean this thing that I've produced, this thing that wanted to come out and be published, and the healing it brought to myself in the moment, if there was any, I believe there probably was, and will bring to those who listen and who vibe with it and sort of understand it, at least in part, would never be granted a chance at life. And that means that it would in some way just kind of fester here on my laptop and collecting digital layers of dust, if you will. And I would always know that it wasn't shared, and I choose not to be okay with that ultimately. So after much contemplation, I was led to the decision to simply put out an extra disclaimer before the original introduction that I recorded that's more in alignment with the show's actual material. And that's what I'm doing. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope you listen with an open mind. And maybe just skip on along if you are either easily offended or judgmental, which I don't think you'd be here if you were, or, and this is the important part, in an extra fragile place right now emotionally or psychologically, because this one might not be for you at this time. And most of all, I hope that you are really happy, as I am, that we're back after a lengthy, unannounced, and until now, unexplained absence from the podcast verse. So without further ado, here is a brand spanking new episode, the definitive comeback episode of Forager Health Podcast. I hope you do enjoy, and I'll see you back here soon. Hello, and welcome to the first new episode of Forager Health Podcast in quite a while. Today, I am coming back to you as a little bit of a reflective practice. There definitely is some actionable advice buried within the reflections of the many waves that I've ridden over the past 5 or 6 months here. And I thought that it was very obvious that as I wrote down and typed out my thoughts, reflecting on why I ended up pausing midway through what I had planned to be a year-long season of the show, and where I was at the time that I stopped publishing, and where I found myself walking between then and now, it was very obvious to me that what came out and what was expressed was meant to be shared. And so this episode is about getting lost. It's about reflections on our lives and projections of where our lives are supposed to be headed. It's about leaps of faith, how to recognize them, and why it's important to jump, whether you know you're going to be caught or not, because I do believe that we always are. And also a little bit on why manifestation, at least as it's traditionally understood, is kind of bullshit and hasn't really been an aspect of my life in the way that it is commonly discussed. And that is not to detract from any of the conversations that we've had on the show so far that touch on this concept of the law of attraction, of synchronicity, of, you know, we've even had a manifestation coach or two join us on the show, people whose lives reflect the fact that manifestation is very real to certain people who have put in certain efforts and unraveled the nature of their own story and their ways of being on this earth to certain extents. And maybe it's part of some people's dharma to be representative of the fact of really what is possible on this planet in these symbiotic biological spacesuits that interact with nature in these certain ways where it is possible to call in a life of such ridiculous abundance that it's undeniable that it is beyond statistical measure, that it is possible to call in certain ways of being, but not before a tremendous amount of effort is undertaken, whether that's in this life or in past lives or the next life or whatever. I'm just trying to say that I don't want to belittle the experience that someone is having out there. Many of my friends have been on the show, and probably many of our listeners who have been like, oh yeah, I called in this and I've made this happen. Sure, you know, I've done it too. But I do believe that it's still bullshit. Like, at a certain light, and we're going to get to it. We're going to get into it. I just don't like how it's used almost like a false god to chase. It is like an object to long for that distracts us from the work that's actually important. And the work that is meant for us is how you manifest in the first place. It's not like, oh, how do I get better at manifestation? I've fallen into that trap so many times over the years, and it's just not real for me, regardless of whether or not it is for you. So, having said that and moving on, if you are joining us back for the first episode that we published in a while, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. It's been a real joy to click in to my podcast dashboard here and there and see that people are still going back and listening to the episodes that we have accumulated over the past couple of years. That means that people are still drawing value out of our library that we have created together, and that means the world to me. However, at times, the show has been a little bit of a mess, and there have been certain things that I have said on air, and I'm sure it's true for every podcaster out there who's done it long enough, that have not come to pass in the way that I've said that they would, or have not come to pass at all, and I said that they were going to. For that, I apologize, and you're going to learn a little bit about my most recent snafu as we get into today's topic. And today's topic, once again, starts off a little bit mythopoetically. So bear with me. It flows between the practical and the ethereal realms, as we tend to often do. And so I'm just going to dive right in. If you enjoy this and if you feel like it is valuable and it will be valuable to somebody that you love, somebody that you care about, other people in your sphere of influence, then please do share and leave us a rating or a review, as always. And if it triggers you at all, if any of this that I'm about to say and express bothers you in some way, then lean into a little bit. Lean into it, because it means that there is something within you that has not been fully honored and expressed in this life that is available to us in the here and now. And it means that I am showing you, by way of triggering you, that there are discomforts that are weighing on you, because not because you disagree with them, but because you have not looked at what they mean to you within yourself in some way, shape, or form. Anywho, these past 6 months, oh my goodness, they have included many of the most powerful shifts that I have ever experienced in the course of my life, this life anyway. And I'm not talking about big milestone emotional or psychosomatic breakthroughs. I'm not talking about sitting in ceremony. There have been those too, I promise you, and maybe we'll dive into them eventually, maybe not. But I believe at this point, the glorification of such events only sets us up to seek a version of ourselves that we have the potential to embody without actually showing us the way. It's almost like a puzzle with missing pieces, and without the picture on the outside of the box that shows you what you need, or because it shows you what the whole thing looks like when it's done. So until we complete what there is of the puzzle at our disposal, we can't know what's missing. We can't see those empty spaces. And so it's only a tool through which we can view the potential of our reality. It's not an instruction manual. And until the day the tide rises and our ship gets to moor atop that ridgeline of the highest peak of our expression, there is still every other day. Every other day where we must be of the world. We must face who we are. We must make that hard choice moment by moment, and in each interaction between self and world, self and other, we must make that choice to break the habitual modal natures of our adolescence and of our childhood without knowing where the change will take us. When I say I've had the biggest shifts that I've had in my life so far in these past 6 months, I'm talking about those kinds of shifts. The decisions to actually be different in the world. That habitual nature, the one that keeps us comfortable, tells us it's okay. Tells us that it's here to protect us, that we use to deflect, to build excuses, to create distractions, is the same one that is responsible for separating every other day from that day where we are being the one that gets to enjoy our best days. Meaning that the person on our best days in history is a different person. It's a different version of yourself. It is a flip-flop of your highest moments to your base modal nature. He or she is the one with that puzzle glued the fuck together behind glass and hung up on the wall of his or her proverbial mountaintop villa. They've made a village up there already, you know. He probably doesn't even notice that puzzle as he walks by anymore. He doesn't really see the details because it is history. He has figured it out. Back in the summer of this year, I was buried neck deep in a swamp of every other day. I was way down in the valleys below that peak, suffocating somewhere far off my place of surrender, where there's just so many, a great many distractions that lie in wait for us to allow them to deter remembrance of who we are, why we are here, what we are for, not even in the grand scheme, but in the little moments. The little moments are what torture us, the little moments of the day-to-day. I was playing victim, and I was winning the game. Why me? Why this? Why now? What's in alignment? Where is my perfect timing I like to talk so much about? You hear it like every episode, maybe. I don't know. I haven't listened to them in a while. But regardless, in the fog of the swamp where your life goes to nest, if you let it, and I don't say when or if, I mean both. It's really, it happens. You know, you can fool yourself into thinking you feel all there is to feel. Even convince yourself that your problem is that you are feeling too much, and that you can't handle the level of sensitivity that you have fostered. So it becomes subtle. This is what happened to me. I'm not saying that I was like doom and gloom. I wasn't saying I was depressed. I wasn't saying that I was frustrated or angry. I was a little bit of all of those things, very subtly. So subtly, I couldn't tell what was wrong. You only know that you are winning the game of victimhood in retrospect, when you can look back and call bullshit on everything that you've been focusing on. Before that, you begin to think everything wrong in your life is because you're in the wrong place, surrounded by the wrong people, at the wrong times, and some of that may be true. I have no doubt in my mind even today that a lot of it's still true for me in this moment. But it is also robbing us of our authority over 95% of the situation by leaning into the projections of your suspicions as you look for what is going wrong. And you heard me right. All the people in your life, all the places, all the situations, all the relationships, all of that aside, when we are allowing ourselves to truly see and not getting in our own way, it all amounts to about 5% of the influence on the choices that we make. And in other words, we have the power to take them into consideration without them being able to touch us, let alone ruin us, let alone take us off the path, let alone stop us from treading the path, causing us to pause. And then, when we walk on this firm ground and we regularly head to the cliffs where waves crash against cold hard stone, each passing moment bringing certain death, while the moments between bring out the most in our lives, and statistics be well fucking damned, we trust enough to jump anyway, knowing that if we are the problem, then death is surely welcome because we have no more left to offer here anyway. And knowing that if we are not the problem, then 100% we will surely be swept out to sea, allowing the current to run through our lives again. For if we are not the problems themselves, we must harbor the means for solutions that, together with the right people, the right places, the right spaces that come to us and that we can see when we are ourselves, would alchemize into higher degrees of love. We can be swept off into the right situation. We are able to see, we are able to take opportunities, and even in that situation, we jump, and all of a sudden, there is more love in the world. This is what happens in a true state of surrender. Fear isn't even an option, it doesn't exist. And so we jump. Because death isn't even a possibility. Just so that you don't misunderstand me, it's not that you're risking death. Death is a long way off. It's not even in our field. It's not something that is within our worldly experience as part of the self. It is other than, just like the fog is, because we are not our own problem. If we were our own problem, then we would be a problem for the world, and therefore death is imminent. But because that is not true, we are the cure, not only for ourselves, but for all of the karma and samskaras that we hold. The Dharma is the gift that comes into our vision for us to attain when our wounds are properly loved. And we can see that love and the way to it, those instructions that don't come to us in higher states of consciousness, at least in full, when we are honest with ourselves in surrender to our true feelings and thoughts and belief patterns and ways of decision making and innate wisdom. The fact is that we all have a choice, and too many of us are laying back 30 feet off the cliff, drinking a piña colada, and watching Netflix on like a coconut-shaped TV, like a big-ass giant freak of nature, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles coconut with a TV cut out, kind of like in SpongeBob, some shit like that. That's where we are. We're not even listening to the waves crash and our volume's cranked up. We're watching something else. And we need to be toes on the edge, ready to leap when the call comes. The fact is that at first, I didn't even feel bad about stopping cold on publishing episodes for the show. It's far from the only thing in my life that I once cared about dearly that I had let go of at the time. In any case, the podcast had slipped out of priority for me, right? And I had come into a space where, despite being able to understand the long-term benefit of keeping something like this going, it did not feel right to continue at the time. It didn't even feel right to explain why I stopped. You know, I tuned in many times in the early days of like, should I at least go on now that I have the ability to and explain, oh, we'll be back at some point. But it never felt right. It never felt right to say or speculate when I'd be back because I really had no idea. I'm bringing this episode to you in part to say that, first of all, I am sorry. Please forgive me. Let's start over. You know, this show up to this point has reflected a lot of love and strength and compassion, and has also immortalized a lot of the mess that has been the beginning of my attempts to embrace my gifts and offer myself in service to the world in a public and professional manner. And there's a lot of mess in everybody's story in that regard. But that's also why I think it makes it so special. You know, I'm sure that that's the case. I know personally that I don't listen to too many productions where I feel they are worthy of my time, where the host does not show some form of vulnerability in reflecting things exactly like this. Oftentimes, you know, the people that I follow and especially mentors I admire the most share more of their own gruesome process than I feel at times even their own families are often aware of or exposed to, at least on a regular basis, because the nature of the conversations we have on these platforms are inherently raw and gritty, and that is exactly why they are meaningful. However, there is a difference between having purposely vulnerable conversations and falling into a space where the conversation cannot be authentic, because I am not all there. I am not being present, and the content, at least when I listen back to it, reflects that because I know the truth. And if I'm not present, then whatever I'm recording, meaningless. If anybody benefited from season two so far, and I'm sure that people have, that's wonderful, but it could have been a better version of itself, because it's not the version of itself it's meant to be or that it can be when I'm partially checked out or frustrated or disconcerted by any part of the process. It has to all come from the heart, right? So if that happens again in regards to how I feel about publishing, I know not only to acknowledge it outright, but to express it to you, the listener, and either step away for a while or with much more intention, just do what I feel is right given the situation as it arises differently next time. Because the way that I was at the time that I stopped, it was the only thing that felt right was to just stop. And ironically, this is how manifestation comes into my life. We haven't even gotten there yet. When I ignore innate, when I ignore synchronicity, when I ignore doing things based on how I feel, the universe tends to slap me in the face. And this time, it literally didn't let me continue my podcast for a few weeks, I will say at least. I don't remember exactly, because I had left the only charge cord that works with my laptop, which is how I edit my shows and get my sound on cue and like really make things polished and good and publishable. I had forgotten it at a venue that we did breathwork at a certain point, and that was 90 minutes away for what was actually at the time something that was not easy to replace. And so it was hilarious. For a few weeks, I was out of commission. I like refused to buy another one because they were supposed to ship it back to me. They never did. And so I was just like, oh, I guess I'm not publishing anymore. And then at the time, I just didn't after I had the means again anyways, because it was a very big wake-up call, honestly, in physical form, that it just wasn't right. It wasn't right. And so I stopped. This time, nothing was really right in my life. I mean, I feel like really nothing was, and that's what was wrong. I was not seeing clearly. You know, I was beaten down and bloody and tired, and there was no end or solution to the expression of how things were going in my life in sight. And in many ways, there still isn't. I still always feel like I'm transitioning, like I'm not there. But even though my situation is much different, I am different. And that's what matters most, or that's the only thing that matters. I don't believe in manifestation the way that some do for this very reason. It's just never happened for me. It's quite the opposite. Whenever I am feeling like shit, I have to get up and do the work to fix it. And I can be really, really successful in all objects and areas and fascinations as far as I see perceive my life. And another dark night of the soul or downturn towards complacency or nearsightedness or just a lack of vision inevitably comes around the corner. And that is with a willingness to do the dark, deep, ugly, introspective work that everybody says, oh, you must not be doing this or doing that. It's like, no, like that's my life. I live it. I live it. I really do. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. I am an extremely highly sensitive person. That's the new trend word for empaths. Yeah, yeah, we keep coming up with new terms, you know, HSP, fun. I'm connected to myself. I'm connected to source. I have a more intimate relationship with God and with spirit and with my unborn children and with my spirit guides and all of my energetic protections and energy work. You know, I might be talking, like kind of poking fun at it a little bit right now, but that's the point out that like there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. There are other people that do what I do that come out on top, not to bring this into a comparative lens. And then there are people that do what I do who suffer. And I know that that's true because I tend to lean toward professionally wanting to help those people the most as clients for lifestyle coaching, for example, because it's so easy for such a highly attuned, sensitive person to feel so downtrodden on themselves, because we do so much more than the average, even health-oriented person to take care of ourselves and to try to make things happen in our lives. And still, it seems like a lot of the times we draw the short straw because our work here is just bigger than most people. There are certain people in the world who have more healing to do, and therefore their healing is collectively, as far as elevating collective consciousness and affecting more people out in the world through their radiance, subjectively more important. And that is going against, I understand, the concept of Samatvam, the equality of value of all experience that I preach on the show all the time. But there is such a thing as a change bringer. You know, it's so, we're talking very multifaceted, very nuanced here, and very controversial. And I'm not saying I'm more important than anybody else out there. I think that if anything, my life so far has proven anything but. However, I'm saying however a lot, but whatever. Whatever. I am very deliberately in love with the fact that if things ever work out for me, it means that I get to bring my passion and my gifts and my passion for those gifts to a tremendous number of people. And I believe with where the world is at right now, that that is more important than an ant on the sidewalk or a cashier at Walmart. I just do. You know, I'm sorry, but I do. Like, there's personal opinion and objective fact. And the fact that Samatvam is an objective truth in this world, it is one of the very few objective truths in existence in all of reality, means it supersedes my opinion. But for me, in my life, my story is more important than the ant on the sidewalk. And that is a new evolution of that understanding for me that I am coming to terms with. You know, people say you have to be your own biggest fan. You have to be your own cheerleading section. But you have to also go pretty deep with that in order to allow it to work on you to any sort of beneficial extent. So going back to manifestation, I don't believe in manifestation in the way that some do. I have come to accept wholeheartedly, maybe for the first time in my life, that for some people, getting anywhere in life, even fighting for scraps over their overarching visions, their definite chief aims, as I love to say, as you've heard me say before, just getting a foothold on their dreams takes a massive amount of sacrifice and hard-ass work. Eating rejection and shitting out other people's projections day in and day out. Till everyone thinks that you're so crazy that they just stop fucking bothering, wasting energy, insulting or doubting you or trying to stop you. And when that happens, you gotta still go out and suffer some more for your dreams because there is no big break. I haven't found one yet, even the ones that have felt like it in the moment. It's just there's still every other day. There's still every other day. And it's so easy to get pulled away from being able to see clearly when you have the challenge of needing to be present in the seeing every other day. When I was at my worst, people, when I was at my worst, almost dead and long dead to the world, I had to give a lot away. I gave away a lot of my masculinity. I had to be soft. I had to be patient. I had to allow. I had to give myself massive amounts of grace, just massive. And then when the time came, I had to get hard again. I had to get real. I had to act. And so one day I stepped out of my door and may have told the story in short in various points of the podcast before, but I think it's important and I don't think I've dove into it in this context. So one day I step out of my door, you know, I ran a mile and a half out and back the road of my neighborhood. And I did that one day after the other, feeling like absolute shit you know, a complete total failure and a loser and a dead man for every other second of those early days of my personal recovery. Still seeing doctors who treated me like a sick person, didn't help for shit. Still taking handouts and begging for quick fixes. All kinds of biohacks. Praying and crying at the foot of the altar. Praying to Krishna every morning. Those were some good moments too. Blowing tens of thousands a year on supplements, like easy. Clawing at any opportunity at the same exact time to either get better or be validated in my suffering. But for that 15 minutes that I was running down and back that road, I was doing something else. You know, I owned myself in those moments. I had complete control over my own faculties for the first time, maybe in years. And that was March or April. And that September, I ran 31 miles with 9,000 feet of elevation change in the mountains of Vermont. I would regress again after that. I got really sick again that winter, just literally months later. I had not solved anything. I had taken ownership of who I was and why I was still here. And my time outdoors, while running or otherwise, gave me the freedom of mind and energy I would need despite adrenal failure, despite brain damage, despite autoimmune issues I had incurred, to never let go of that person again. Just never let go of him again. Whether or not you know what to do with him or her, to hold on tight to your true self and never let go. So what do I do nowadays when I become lost? What have I learned that keeps the sense of infallible truth even when I am in the swamp surrounded by fog and I don't know what to do? How do I still, at 32 years old, grown-ass man, with just pipe dreams and nothing to show for them whatsoever ever, other than who I am. I've not gotten anything materially from wanting to help people for a living up to this point in my life. Really nothing. Actually, it's almost negative. It's just suffering because I haven't made it happen yet, right? Just in full. It just, people can argue otherwise. I'm sure that if you go to my social media channels or you listen to this podcast, you might think that I am doing some good in the world, but nothing compared to my ambitions, and it sure as hell is not paying the fucking bills. So, having said that, how have I made myself infallible? When I am lost and I cannot see, I don't quit, I don't fail, I don't lose. There is no day that I look back on and, well, fuck, that was a shit. Like, I didn't do shit that day. Even on days where I don't do shit, I don't lose myself. I just lose my ability to see the way. But I know that it'll come back. That's the difference. So what do? I do my best to work with what I can. I try not to screw my life up too bad while I'm in the fog. And I mostly just fucking wait. I know things aren't right. You know things aren't right when this happens to you. The signs are everywhere. The signs are everywhere that you cannot tell what you're supposed to do or where you're supposed to go. It feels like your life might be falling apart or that your life may be meaningless. It feels like you are not in the right place or with the right people or in the right situation, right? Once again, the signs are everywhere. You know things aren't right. People start to not treat you quite right. You start to treat others not quite right. You know, maybe you revert back to a more immature, wounded, for some of you, maybe even neurotic or worrying or anxious, reclusive version of yourself. What to do? First, don't let it happen, but we're here. Don't beat yourself up if that is what is happening. That just feeds the beast. Why me? Why this? Why now? You know a synonym for just fucking wait? Surrender. Another opportunity to take a leap off into the abyss will come. Kick your feet up, watch the coconut TV for a while. It'll fucking show up. You know, doing nothing is better than doing the wrong thing. It sets you further off the path. That's why, you know, I said, try not to screw up my life is the second thing that I do. And while you're waiting for that opportunity, find your anchor. I have several. When I'm waiting for my next chance to truly see, to truly feel what it is I'm supposed to be doing with myself in these moments, I spend sometimes more time with these anchors than my actual work. For me, it's training. For me, it's being in nature, writing, reading, consuming wisdom or allowing wisdom to come to me and writing it down or recording it in some way. All else is trash. Everything else is deflecting. It might be a time to throw away your podcast for a while, but it's definitely not time to replace that with Netflix or porn or anime or video games or alcohol. Whatever you either turn to distract yourself from feeling reality or whatever you lean on for comfort, you don't get to be comfortable right now. I know I said watch the coconut TV, but that's like when it's either that or destroy your life. Don't destroy your life. There will be solutions. There will be an answer. Go listen to the Beatles. Let it be. There will be an answer. You don't get to be comfortable right now. You are uncomfortable for a reason. You are uncomfortable for a reason. I'm going to say it a third time. You are uncomfortable for a reason. Sometimes it takes months for the reason or reasons to show themselves, or rather, for your temporary blindness to lift, because the reasons are always there, and humans are just stubborn as fuck. The reasons are always there. And when you find the answer, you gotta be ready to jump. Doesn't matter where it takes you. It'll be more and better than where you are now. Guaranteed. Guaranteed, 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 guaranteed. It is always better. You will always be caught when you take the leap. There will always be doors that open. When there is an opportunity to be outgoing, and it is an expansive, it could be nerve-ending, or, you know, you could be, oh, I don't know if I should call this person, I don't know if I should answer this text message, oh, I have an invitation, oh, I have an opportunity. It could feel nervous, but it is not the kind of nervous where you are in danger. It's the kind of nervous that is excitement tied to the lie of, but and what if it goes wrong? Doesn't matter. That's not the point. It's not the point if the opportunity goes wrong or doesn't lead anywhere. The point is that you take advantage of the opportunity and let it play itself out. It's always better when you jump, as long as the time is right, and just like you know when you are stuck, you know when to unstuck yourself. You know when the reasons show themselves. You know when your blindness lifts. And when it does, just leap off the cliff. It's that simple. Always is. Always is. The problems are very complicated. Oh my goodness, do we have complicated problems. But the solutions are always so stupid simple. So silly. Is it going to matter in 5 years from now? I don't think so. If you RSVP yes and you go and nothing turns out, it's really just completely arbitrary, or it can be life-changing. And the decision is not what is going to ruin your life. The decision to be outgoing, that is not going to ruin your life. Anyways, so lastly, where the podcast goes from here. I'm going to be continuing for a short while with heartfelt, intuitively guided solo episodes, just like the one you listen to, maybe with a little less vulgarity sometimes, maybe with a little more. We'll see where it goes. This was a fiery one. This was probably the most abrasive episode I may have ever made. But also, maybe we'll make some how-tos in there, or some more informative or grounded ones that are much more tangible and down to earth to keep it interesting based on how I feel. and from that space, reflect on bringing guests back on for you guys to listen to share their wisdom, and taking your feedback into consideration if you're willing to provide any. And when that time comes, I do have a couple of unpublished episodes from the late summer before I had stopped recording, but after I'd stopped publishing, that I might throw out there for y'all as well. And in the meantime, thank you so much for listening. If you are thoroughly triggered and you need some help integrating, then reach out. I'll be happy to chat with you. And if you are here, then I'm sure that you know where to leave a review. And if not, this is the perfect time to go figure it out. You know, you get the instructions at the end of every podcast ever. So help me grow the show. Show me these vulnerable deep dives are worthwhile to you, because they're definitely worthwhile to me, but this is not supposed to be a self-serving endeavor. And until next week, remember that you are loved, that you are whole, that if you're listening to the show, then I bet your ass that your life is very, very meaningful, and that you are never alone. Hare Krishna.